Hallelujah. All right, Titus chapter number 1, and let's begin reading verse number 4. Paul is writing here unto Titus, and he goes on to say, "To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete." Amen. "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." Amen. I skipped down to verse number 10. I'm sorry to let you know that. Amen. I am at verse number 11 now. "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God in works, and they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And so this is the mandate that is given unto to Titus. And I am prepared here this morning to preach to sinners. And so I'm going to preach like the house is full of sinners. And you just respond like the house is full of sinners. Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to take my text from verse number 5. And Paul says, "For this cause I left you in Crete." And I'm simply going to preach today about this cause. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we love you and we appreciate you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your help today. I pray, God, that you would reach down and that you would put your anointing upon this place and that you would touch us. I'm praying, God, that your perfect and divine will would be done. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come and destroy every mindset, everything that is unlike you. Let revelation come unto us, God. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive, God. A spirit to be obedient, O Lord Jesus, and to do after you, God. Lord, touch every soul and we'll give you glory and praise. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated here this morning. Praise God. Crete is an island. It is an area that is found in the eastern Mediterranean Sea. It is not a very desirable place to be. It's definitely not a desirable place to live. And if it's not desirable to live, then we definitely don't want to be vacationing in Crete. And it's definitely not an area, and even to this day, but in Paul's day, it is definitely not an area for the believer, for a true Christian. And just bear with me here this morning, but as I was going through this today, just a little thought came to my mind, and I typed it out today, This is not gospel. This is just an assumption. But as I began to read through this, and I began to wonder why that Paul wrote unto Titus concerning the things that he did, I believe that he was knowledgeable of some of the things that were going on, but maybe not everything. And so I just surmise that what if, and I preface, I emphasize that, what if Titus would have written a letter unto Paul concerning Crete? What would it might have sounded like? And so I just got into the mind of Titus and surmised that this is what he would have said to Paul. "Dear Paul, this is an absolutely terrible place that you have left me. It appears to me that the inhabitants are absolutely hopeless. I really do not want to stay here as much as I thought that I did. In all honesty, I am ready to live. Your son in the gospel, Titus. That's the type of place this was. And with that response, the book of Titus could be surmised into something like this in Paul's response unto Titus. Dear Titus, I'm glad to hear that you are doing so well. It sounds like everything is going great. You're having a revival. You're right in the middle of the will of God. Everything is going good. Crete is in deep need. And for this cause, I have left you there, my son. Keep up the good work. God bless you. Your father in the gospel, Brother Paul. That is the type of place that Titus was at. It's the type of place that Paul wrote unto Titus and says, for this cause, there is a purpose, there is a reason, there is a cause that I have left you there. Paul wrote and he said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. That right there is enough to have revival. Many, many unruly, many vain talkers and many deceivers. And then Paul elaborated a little bit on that when he said, especially those of the circumcision, in other words, the Jews. And he said, their mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to for filthy lucre's sake. And then he went on to elaborate, and he said, even one of their own prophets has said that the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. In other words, they are lazy gluttons. Couch potatoes. Amen. That's what Paul called them. And so he said that even though that there are some of these that say these things, he said, this witness is true. Amen. This witness is true. The Cretans were known for their debasement. As a matter of fact, in looking through some of this today, some of the early writers and those of that time, Livy, Poebus, Plutarch, and all others testified to the Cretans over zealousness or their covetousness and their dishonesty. And one by the name of Leonidas wrote and he said, when was there ever an upright Cretan? And so that's the type of debauchery that had filled that city, that area, that inhabited place. And that is what is going on in that vicinity around Titus. And Paul writing here just encourages him and says, for this cause I've left you in Crete. Let me just stop right there and go to something that we get into this a little bit deeper and say that there was a man a very long time ago by the name of Sir Isaac Newton that came up with three physical laws that would become known as Newton's laws of motion. And they describe the relationship between the forces acting upon a body and its motion due to those forces. The first law of motion that Newton declared was that every object continues in its state of rest or of uniform motion in a straight line unless compelled to change that state by external forces acted upon it. His second law was that the acceleration of a body is parallel and directly proportional to the net force acting upon the body. And it is the direction of the net force and is inversely proportioned to the mass of the body, which basically would come to equate to force equals mass times acceleration. I'm glad all of you understand that. You can help me out after church. But the third law of motion is something that we are probably more familiar with. And it just states that when two bodies interact by exerting force on each other, that these forces, termed the action and the reaction, are equal in magnitude but opposite in direction, which just simply equates to, for every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Praise God. And so I have brought that to your attention, because writing here from Paul unto Titus, he explains a place of utter disgust. He explains a place that is dark and inhabited by sin, that is overran and ruled by sin. And Paul injects an opposite reaction through what we would know and call to be the church. Praise God. Amen. Before there was an Isaac Newton that could understand the laws of motion, there was a God in whom the Bible states that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He understood opposite reactions being equal. Amen. All things were made by Him. And Colossians chapter number 1 tells us that they were made by Him and for Him. All things were made by Him, John said in chapter number 1, in verses 3 through 5. And He said, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Praise God. And so when we go to the origin of the one action, we see an individual by the name that was given unto him called Lucifer. And the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 28 and verse number 15 that thou wast created, or thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in you. Amen. I submit to you today that Lucifer is an extremely powerful individual. And it does not do us well to simply belittle his powers or his abilities. We're not here to accentuate them, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But to say that Satan has no power is a lie, because Jesus even said that all power is given unto him both in heaven and in earth. And then it goes on to say, as Jesus said, and I will give you power over all the power of the enemy. So it is a fact that he does have power. He was created perfectly from the day that he was created. I believe that when he fell from heaven, even as Jesus stated in Luke 10 and 18, when he said, and I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, I believe that some of the things that was created in him took on a warped, amen, persona. Amen. They were not as perfect. For instance, when we go looking for boards to build things, amen, we're looking for the perfect board, not one that is warped. And I believe that his sense and his mentality was warped. And so therefore, when he fell, amen, there were things that was missing when he fell. But nevertheless, he still retains a lot of the things that he was created with. And with that in mind, let me just state this, that the two things that were created in him perfectly, I personally feel that they are the two things that the church will fight the hardest. Number one, he said that in the day that thou was created, you was created perfectly. Amen. And he said that all types of beauty were in him. Amen. And it goes to list several things. Of the stones that was there, the beryl, the onyx, the diamond, the jasper, the ruby, and it goes on. And so it is a sense of pride, and the Bible teaches us that God hates pride. Amen. He said a proud look, amen, is the very first thing that God hates. Amen. I want you to know that pride has a deceptive way of getting into churches all across this world. Amen. And so we must guard ourselves in the vicinity or in the arena of pride. Amen. Praise God. And then it goes on to talk about that all forms of music was created in him perfectly. Amen. The sackbut, the dulcimer, amen, and everything else. And I personally feel that those two things are the things that the church of today is going to fight, amen, and must fight vehemently. Number one is pride, and number two is music. Amen.
And I'm here to tell you today that the devil knows exactly what he is doing. And if he can manipulate, amen, humanity and human flesh, amen, in the arena of pride and music and or one or the other, amen. But I will venture to tell you, amen, that when music, amen, is twisted, pride is also involved in it. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that without pride, there cannot be any contention. There is no problem without pride being involved in it. Praise God. All of that was free today. Maybe sometime down the road we'll elaborate. But nevertheless, the enemy does have a power. Amen. We see that even in the Garden of Eden that he was able to manipulate mankind in a place which should have been euphoric and an utopia. A place where it should have been so easy to do that which is right, to live for God, amen, and to serve God, amen. There was no pressing sin there, but Lucifer was able to manipulate his way in to be able to speak, amen. I'm telling you, there are many voices in this world, and none without signification. You better be careful about the voices that you allow into your mind. And Adam and Eve gave in to those that voice, and they were destroyed because of it. But for every action that Satan has come up with, God has come up with an equal and an opposite reaction. Amen. Even though he was able to get Adam and Eve to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, amen, Jesus counteracted that reaction, amen, with a perfect lamb for a sacrifice, for a blood atonement. So no matter the power or the ability to pull mankind down, and no matter the ties and the chains that the enemy has to be able to link mankind to sinful nature, there is a greater reaction, and that is God himself. And God is able to reach down in the dungeons of sin, amen, in the gutters of society, and pull every individual that is trapped in that into a life that is worth living. For he that the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Romans 5 and 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, there was an opposite reaction. Grace did much more abound. Praise God. Thank God for the grace of God. I believe we just need to give him a good hand clap of praise for that grace today. Hallelujah. Come on, I think we can be a little bit more thankful for that. Amen. You weren't a very good person when God found you. You weren't a very clean person when God found you. Amen. You were in disgust. You had rags. But the grace of God reached beyond the hands of hell and pulled you out and gave you a right and a reason to live. And you are here today because that there was an opposite reaction to what the devil had for you. The devil meant to destroy you, but God meant it for your good. And he has caused you to have hope, and hope more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We could speak concerning the children of Israel, amen, in the land of Egypt, and that there was a Moses that was raised up, and that in their vice of being in bondage, that they cried out for a deliverer, because that there had been an action that had happened. And so because of that, there was a reaction, and Moses came about. And God even spoke unto Moses in Exodus 9 and 16 and said, in the very deed for this cause I have raised you up to show in you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all of the earth. Hallelujah. For this cause, Moses, I have raised you up. Because of the cause, we could speak concerning Hezekiah when Sennacherib had surrounded him. And the Bible said in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 32 and 20, amen, for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried to heaven. And we know that, Syria came, and we know that Sennacherib did what he was going to have to do. Amen. But the Bible speaks in 2 Kings chapter number 19. And he goes on to say in verse 32, saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, amen, the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Amen. Skipping down a few verses, actually the very next verse, verse 35, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they had arose up early in the morning, behold, they were dead corpse. So Sennacherib the king of Assyria departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Amen. So once again, God had a not so equal reaction to the enemy's action. Once again, when the devil thought that he had triumphed, God stepped in and said, for this cause, I've got a man by the name of Hezekiah and a prophet by the name of Isaiah. Amen. Who have touched the throne, and I shall step down. We could skip to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and we could see that there was a giant by the name of Goliath who had struck fear in all the hearts of the Israelites until the day that a little boy by the name of David came and heard what he had done. And we see that, David looked and the king heard the king saying that whosoever shall take on this giant and shall destroy him, they shall be enriched with great riches. They shall be given the king's daughter, and his father's house should be set free from taxes in Israel. And David simply replied with a response and said, what shall be done to him that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? And then he goes on to say, what have I not done? Is there not a cause? There is a cause, amen, to stand up in a situation like this. There is a cause, amen, that should cause an individual to step forth and to step out rather than hiding behind a bush. I know that the enemy may be big and he may be intimidating and there may be a lot of bad things that could happen, but I want you to know there is a cause. I've come to tell you today, there's still a cause. It doesn't matter how big the giants seem to be. It doesn't matter how oftentimes they seem to come. There is still a cause in this world for God to show up. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For every man in the bondage of Egypt, God has a Moses to lead him out. For every Goliath, God's still got a David. For every Sennacherib, there is still an angel. For every Jericho, there is still a Joshua. For every Midianite and Amalekite, there's still a Gideon. For every Philistine, there's still a Samson. For every Ahab, God's got an Elijah. For every Jezebel, God's still got a few on his side. For every drought, God's got a cloud like unto a man's hand that's able to bring water. For every famine, there's still a widow who's willing to give to God all that she has. For every Red Sea, there's still a rod that can be stretched forth. For every Jordan River, there's still a mantle that can be smoked upon the waters. For every empty pot, God's got oil oil to fill every one of them. For every Naaman, there's a Jordan River that you can go down into. For every Haman, God's got an Esther that's willing to stand. For every broken down wall, God's got a way of moving upon a Nehemiah. For every Nineveh, there's a Jonah. For every barren locust infested land, God's got a Joel that'll speak out to that. For every Assyrian army, God's got an Isaiah. For every hardened nation, God's got a weeping Jeremiah. For every golden image, God still has somebody that's not willing to bow down unto that image. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For every decree that is signed, God still has a Daniel that says, I'm still going to go find a place to pray. For every device, manipulating politician, evil agenda that hell wants to throw upon this earth, God has got a church. For every dope-smoking, cocaine-snorting, heroin addict that is right here in this city, God's got a New Life Tabernacle that's ready to stand up. Is there not a cause? There is a cause. There is a cause. There is a cause. And the cause is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For every drunk, dirty, rotten thief, illicit young person, profane, foul-mouthed individual that this city can produce, God has responded by putting a church right here at 1200 Henry in the city of Augusta, Kansas. God knew that there was a reason, and God said, for this cause, I'm going to establish it. For this cause, I'm going to put it in. For this cause, I'm going to bleed and die. For this cause, I shall bring salvation to them. For every messed up and broken home, God has still got a message for the man of God to preach. Amen. That is able to come in amongst and to soothe the heart. Amen. Jesus, he said, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I came into this hour. But for that, this is the whole reason that I came among mankind. This is the whole reason that I'm here to bleed and to die and to be sacrificed. The reason is to set man free. We've got a cause. Oh, let's love him here today. Let's love him here today. There is a cause. There's still a cause. I said there's still a cause. Thank God there was a cause when you came looking. Thank God there was a cause when you were broken. Thank God there was a cause when you were dirty, when you were rotten, when you were lost in your sin. There was a cause. There was a cause. And the cause was Jesus Christ. I'm almost done here tonight. Give me just a few more minutes of time. Pilate looked at Jesus and he asked Jesus, art thou king then? And Jesus answered and said, thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Jesus went on to say, and like this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the cause. Jesus said, I can't shirk the cause for that. There is a generation There is a future, amen, that is relying upon the cause. I must take it all the way past Calvary's cross. How much more, Hebrews 9 and 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, amen, to God, purge your conscience from dead works to save or to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This is the cause. Church, we've got a cause. We've got a cause. And the cause is not just to come and to be faithful, but the cause is to go into all the world and tell them to come, that my house may be full. There is a God that died for 10,000 in Augusta. There is a God that died for 13,000 in Elderay and Andover. There is a God that died for 13,000 in El Dorado. And there's one church. There's one church. We've got a mission. We've got a cause. We've got to show and to tell this world there is a God, and his name is Jesus. Let's stand and love him today. Hallelujah. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. I feel a measure of faith in this house here today. Come on, there is faith that is in this house today. Hallelujah. 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 God didn't just save you, amen, so that you could simply be saved, but he saved you for a cause. Amen. That cause is your neighbor. That cause is the one that you work with. That cause is your friends. That cause is your co-workers. That cause is your relatives. That cause is your spouse. That cause is your children. That cause is for whosoever will come unto me, and I will give you. You've got a cause. You've got a purpose. You've got agenda. You've got a commandment. Paul said, for this cause, Titus, I've left you here. You're here to set up a church. You're here to build a church. You're here to witness, and you got plenty of material to do it with. There are those that are deceivers. There are those that are lazy gluttons. Titus, you've got a purpose. You've got a cause. You've got a cause. You've got a cause. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, there is a call here this morning. There is a call in this place this morning. I feel the voice of God. Powerful. Amen. I feel the drawing of God. Amen. There is a will. There is a vision. God said, catch on to my vision. Catch on to my vision. I've got something for this church. I've got something for this city. Amen. I've got hope for this city. Amen. I've got salvation for this city. But it's got to come through the church. And for this cause, I have put you here. Come on, church. Come on, church. I want you to reach out by faith. Come on, there is a vision that God is ready to impart to some people. There is a love that God is ready to give unto people. There is a passion that God is willing and ready to share with people. Amen. This is not time to burden down with a burden. Amen. This is time to rejoice. Amen. In what God has called and purposed us to do. I want to be effective in your kingdom, God. I want to be ready. I want to be at your disposable, God. I want to let those know. God, I want to serve the cause. God, you've got a cause in me, and I want to respond to that cause. Come on, let faith get a hold of your heart here today. Hallelujah, let faith get a hold of your heart here today. Hallelujah. There is the voice of God that is speaking in this place. This building is not big enough, amen, for the cause of God. Amen. And we're not going to sit down, amen, and moan and groan. We're not going to sit down and write back unto Jesus and tell him, amen, this is a terrible place that you've left us in. Do you realize and recognize who our president is and all the politicians that are about here? It appears that this world, dear God, amen, and its inhabitants are absolutely hopeless. Nobody wants you. I don't think I want to stay here any longer, God. In all honesty, I'm ready to leave. And the voice of God responds, it sounds like revival time. It sounds like revival time. It sounds like the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It sounds like an upper room experience. It sounds like that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Just keep on keeping on. Don't be weary in well-doing. He that shall come, and will not tarry. But until then, there is a cause. There is a cause. There is a cause. Be a part of that cause.
Hundreds of children, amen, that ready to be in Sunday school. Hundreds of people in need of Jesus. Hundreds of people in need of a one God apostolic church. Hallelujah. 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 He said, for this cause, I'll put you there. I'll put you there for this cause. I'll put you there for this cause. Hallelujah. Respond to it. Instead of weeping and crying, respond to it. Amen. Instead of warm meat and sackcloth and ashes, take advantage of the situation. Put on the garments of praise. Amen. And get about the Father's business. And work while it is yet day, for the night is coming. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. But until then, I gotta be about my Father's business. I gotta be about my Father's business. All the way up to the point of death, there was a cause. And he looked at the two thieves and he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. You know what that tells me? I gotta work until I draw my last breath. I gotta work until Jesus tells me it is finished. I gotta find somebody to reach. Gotta find somebody to witness to. Gotta find somebody to tell about Jesus. Gotta find somebody to teach a Bible study to. Gotta find somebody to bring to church. Gotta find somebody to bring to Sunday school. Gotta find somebody, amen, so that somebody can receive the Holy Ghost. There is a cause. There is a cause. What? Is there not a cause? Oh yeah, there's a cause. Oh yeah, there's a cause. There's a great big enemy that's out there. There's a city that's full of thieves. Full, amen, of heroin addicts. Full of meth users. Full of all kinds of sin. But there is a church. And God said, that's the reason you're here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's just continue to worship the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, come on. Come on, God's drawing. God's moving. Hallelujah, God's moving. Let's just love the Lord, Sister Nat. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, church, help me today.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, don't drop this right now. Come on, don't drop this right now. I need people that are going to push. I need people that's willing to reach. I need people that's going to help here today. Come on, right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me pray.